So we ask ourselves this question: how do we gain a fresh perspective on the ways in which we do church? And then turn that bold vision into reality through a $20 million project that will have three main components. First, through Reimagine, we will activate our spaces. What if our buildings could be places of connection for our neighbors throughout the week? A place where they can meet friends, play pickleball, and find great childcare. Reimagine will fund these types of spaces at each of our campuses. What if we had a sacred space to connect with God during the week? Reimagine would fund a chapel that would also alleviate the cost of funerals for people in our community. Second, this project will help us amplify local good. Almost 1,000 of us serve at the Local Good Center, where we see lives being changed through its programs firsthand. But there is more work to be done. Local Good Food Pantry in Richardson will feed thousands of people each month. Enhancements to these two important initiatives are needed to continue to best serve our neighbors. Jesus calls us to be an irresistible force for good wherever we are, and also wherever we go. As we extend outward as a church, it's time to reimagine what a new campus looks like. We want to design our new buildings around the daily needs of people who live nearby and to focus on how to best add value and bring good to the communities we call home. Reimagine will fund the launch of two new local good campuses. A third component of Reimagine is to anchor the faith of the next generation. Our youth and young adults are asking different questions and facing new challenges, and God is working mightily in and through them. What if we made more of the already dedicated spaces to invest in the faith of this next generation? Well, Reimagine will allow us to update the next gen areas at Woodbridge and Sloan Creek. And what if we made the life-changing experience of student camp financially realistic for every kid that wants to go? Reimagine will help fund scholarship programs for student ministry camps, as well as expand our residency program. There's never been a more critical time for a fresh perspective. In the next few years, either people will deepen their slide away from Christianity, or they can spark a movement toward Jesus. So let's chart this new course together, powered by the radical love of Jesus. Let's reimagine together.
So cool. So today, I want to welcome everybody. Some of you are brand new today, and you're like, what is this all about? You've picked quite a day to be here, and I don't think it's accidental. I think we're all here because God wants us here. And some of you came knowing what this is all about, which is really cool too, because it is a big faith step for our church. This is Big Step Weekend. Not only in Reimagine, as we reimagine church for a whole new era, and many of us came ready to participate in that, and we'll do that at some point here in this service. But all of us, whether you plan to participate in the project or not, because this is a project that kind of takes all of us to say, yeah, God, okay, I'm in. And there's good reasons that some people are like, hey, I'm not ready for that yet. And we understand that. And that's not going to be awkward. It's cool, all right? But many of us will take that step in a little bit. But all of us can relate to this. And this is the broader theme of what I want to talk about. And that is big steps that God puts in front of us. And what I mean is big steps of faith and obedience that really define the rest of our lives, their trajectory changing in terms of what we do with that. I mean, I'm talking about a time where maybe we feel called by God to take some big step of faith or to take a step of obedience. And we sense God wants us to do that, but it would be easier not to. And if we do take that scary step or in obedience, that costly step, God's on the other side of that. It opens us up to a whole new adventure of faith. It helps us to become the kind of people that we all want to really be. When I think about that, a picture that comes into my mind is what happens in my backyard every summer as Christy, my wife, teaches swim lessons. She's done that for decades. So in the summer, there's like all these kids everywhere in our backyard, which is always fun. And she's taught thousands of kids over the years, over the decades, swimming. But at some point in the process, she'll get, you know, the little kids, and they're there on the side of the pool, and they have to jump in. And of course, she's in the pool. She's not, you know, on the side. She's in the pool. And she's like, come on, I'm right here, right? And these little ones, you know, have to decide to take the leap. And for some kids, they don't have much fear in their brain the way God made them. And so they jump in. Our boys were like that. They, especially my youngest, Caleb. In fact, Caleb, even when he was like 1 year old, when he was first doing that, he never just jumped in, ever. From the very beginning, he did a flip. Nobody ever told him to do that. I don't think he ever saw that. I mean, he's one. I mean, he's just a little bitty. He could barely walk. And he would never jump. He would do a flip, which always freaked me out, but we couldn't talk him out of it. He was always do a flip. So some kids are like that, but most kids, that's a big leap, right? That's a scary thing, right? They have to push through. And of course, when they do, if they do push through that fear and they take the leap, they find out, yes, just like she said, she's right there. And they leap and they're happy. And the more they do that, they gain confidence. And it opens up a whole new world because now they're swimmers and water jumpers. But they have to take the scary step. And that's a great picture for how life works, because life is essentially made up, not just of little moments, but also sometimes big moments, where God has some scary step that he's put in front of us to do. And that's how people of faith, by the way, become people of faith. Like, I think sometimes we think that people of big faith were just sort of born that way. Like, maybe you know people like that who are just big people of faith and their life seems like this faith adventure. Or you read the Bible and you read about people like, you know, David and Moses and Joshua and Abraham and all these people of faith. And you're like, wow, that, you know, it must be amazing to be like that. And they were just always like that, but they weren't. You might, sometimes I think we think that God maybe has this sort of like a pump, like when you pump up a bike tire. And he sort of pumps faith in these people, and they, you know, they just get really big, and they're like, I can do all things through Christ who's strengthened. You know, they can do anything they want. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is little them, ordinary them, scared them, has to push through that fear and take the step. In fact, there's a very predictable pattern when you look at all those stories. I could do a whole series on all these faith steps that God puts in front of people, but here's the pattern. And I can use Christy's backyard swim thing as an example, that there's always a call from God, a clear call. Like Christy there is saying, come on, you know, you can jump. And then there's fear, like, I don't wanna jump. That's too scary. And then assurance, I'm right here. Come on, I'm right here. You're gonna be fine. I'm not gonna let anything happen to you. And then a decision point, either you're gonna jump or not. And in all these faith steps, we're gonna see that. We're gonna see that played out in a big one today. Because some of you right now are at one of those points. If not, there's one around the corner. Some of you are at a point where you sense God is nudging you to something or calling you to something. It could be, like I said, a step of obedience. You know God wants you to do something, and yet it'd be easier not to. Or a step of faith that God is calling you to do something and take some step in your career, take some step in your job, take some step in your relationship with God, in a relationship with another person. And you know that, but you don't know how it's gonna work out. That's the fear part. And you may know, hey, I'm with you, God, you know, okay, I'm with you. You know that'll happen, but still it's hard to do. And what you and I decide in those moments really defines the rest of our life. As a church, we're certainly there with Reimagine. With Reimagine, we believe this is a step that God is calling us to take. It'd be easier not to. Just keep doing what we've always done and just do that. But we believe God is calling us to take a big, scary step, which means all of us, church is just you and me, is all of us doing our part in taking a scary step. And it's a defining moment for our church, a defining moment for many of us. And how do we think about those moments and what do we do? And so with this in mind, I want us to look at, there's so many examples of this, but we're gonna look at one big example. It's really divided into two parts of people who were defined by their step, in the same way that you and I face these same kind of decisions. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament and Moses and Joshua. And you may remember Moses, you know, maybe you saw the Prince of Egypt movie if you're not oriented around Christianity. very much, or haven't read much of the Bible, or you may even remember Charlton Heston back in the day, you know, and Moses, and he, you know, leads the people of God out of slavery in Egypt, and Pharaoh's like, yeah, get him out of here, and then Pharaoh changes his mind, they're at the Red Sea, they're like, uh-oh, but then God parts the Red Sea, and they go across, and it closes over the Egyptians, and they cross, and then they cross the desert, and they get to the Jordan River, and on the other side of the Jordan River is the Promised Land. And there's a very clear call, cross over with all the people and cross over into that land. God's, their land, I mean, their promised land. However, what happens next is fear. Because if they cross over, one, it's not so easy to cross over a river with a couple million people and all your stuff. But if you cross over, on the other side of that were seven nations that had inhabited that land, who were their enemies, who wanted them eradicated, who were all much more powerful. And so they decide to send in 12 spies into the land to check it out. And they send in the spies, and when the 12 spies come back, 10 of them have this report. Two of them not, but 10 of them have this report. They're like, hey, look, if we do this, if we cross over and we try, these people are way bigger, they're way better, they're real nations with real fortified cities, they have real armies with real weapons, we've got none of that, and they're gonna kill us. Like, they're gonna cream us. It would be suicide to go. There's no way we can go in there. They're too, it's kind of like the way I used to feel, or the way I felt one time in particular playing ice hockey in Alabama. And yes, that happens. I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama. We had the first ice hockey program in the South. There's reasons for that, and that was a long time ago. And I played ice hockey as a kid and growing up in high school on this travel team, and everybody was new in the South, all the other, like even Dallas and Atlanta and all these places. So we would go there and clean up. We knew we were gonna win. We felt like we were big stuff. But then in the second half of the season is when we would play travel hockey teams from Michigan and Minnesota and Canada. And I remember the first time we played the Canadians, they were the first of that. And man, we just felt just like those spies. They were huge, these kids. Like, I don't know what they eat up there. Whatever poutine is must make you really grow, because they were huge and they were fast and they were way better than we were. They beat us like 21 to nothing. And there were parts, I mean, I kind of just wanted to run away, you know, because like, you know, just like these spies did. So I can relate. And that's what they were like, we can't do this. And then two of the spies had a very different report, which is going to get us to assurance. Because the fear thing was real, like, oh my goodness. But then the assurance from the two other spies, Joshua and Caleb, who said, wait a minute, everything the 10 said is right. Big armies, big nations. Yeah, that's true. However, remember, they're nothing compared to God. And God's told us he will fight our battles. This is not our battle to fight. We just simply have to go like he said, go, and he will be there and he will fight our battles for us. And therefore, let's go. And we've been having in this series, we've been having a phrase we've been talking about from a Chase Oker who's famous for saying, whoa, baby, here we go. So let's do it. Whoa, baby, here we go. And it's like, whoa, baby, here we go. Let's do it. Man, we're going to just live the adventure of seeing what God's going to do. Let's cross over. And in that generation, they had a decision to make, and they decide to give in to fear. They're like, no way, we can't go. It'd be crazy to go. And that decision defined that generation. They did not cross over. In fact, what God told them because of their unbelief, he said for 40 years, which is for 40 days, they were deliberating 40 days of unbelief, for 40 years, a whole generation, you're gonna wander around in the wilderness. You're not gonna go into the promised land until most of this generation has died off. And that generation wandered around aimlessly in the desert for 40 years. And you know how they were known from then on in the Bible? They were known as the generation who, this is a quote, the generation who did not cross over. Multiple times, that's what they're called. The generation who did not cross over. Because these kind of moments, these kind of decisions define us. And as a result, they wandered around aimlessly until they died. And I have to tell you, that should scare us, because it is really easy to do the same thing. And most people do. Most people stay on the safe side of the Jordan River. And when God is nudging us to cross over and take some scary step, it's easier to stay, play it safe. It's easier not to. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to take a courageous step of faith. Now, when you do, you see God work, all kinds of things open up, but it's just easier not to. And some of you, like I said, are at a place where you're at a decision point, and it's a big moment, because it's a defining moment. And for our church, most churches, honestly, it's just easier to play it safe. Just keep doing, you know, what we always do, and just kind of play it safe and be scared of the big bad world and kind of hole up and miss out on the mission that God has for us. And we don't want to do that. And reimagine is an opportunity to say, hey, look, we've learned a few things about how to do church for a culture that no longer exists. The world's changed. And so let's follow God and to reach a whole new world and a whole new culture and a whole new generation. And it is a scary step of faith, because we don't know everything we're doing. But we believe God is calling us to take a big step, and it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be exciting to the extent that we take that step. And for those of us who are participating in the financial part of this, it's an opportunity to take the scary step. They didn't, and they were defined that way. And they wandered around aimlessly until they died. But then, after that generation died off, a new generation, Joshua and Caleb, those two spies, still alive. Joshua, the new leader who takes it from Moses. And now they've got the same, they're the same place with the same challenge in front of them, the same faith decision in front of them. And the call is exactly the same. Cross over the Jordan River, possess the land, and God will fight your battles for you. That's the call. But then there's fear. Because you know what had happened? The circumstances had not changed. In fact, the circumstances were way worse. Because now these nations that were powerful 40 years before, guess what? They're more powerful now. And as Israel's been wandering around in the wilderness and in the desert, they're not. They're weaker. The armies and the nations are more powerful. Not only that, crossing the Jordan River in 40 years before was just when the Jordan River was normal. But when God decides to put this call in front of him, the Joshua generation, we're told that now the Jordan River was at flood stage. So picture a flooded river. The Jordan River, when it floods in flood stage, can be 100 feet wide and 30 feet deep. Of just rushing water. And you've got a couple million people with little children and all your stuff and elderly and everybody in between. How in the world are you gonna cross a flooded, raging river? But that's what God put in front of him. And he told him, if you do it, I will even stop the water flow. You'll cross over, no sweat. And I'll fight your battles for you when you go and all that. But they have to fear. But then assurance. Where God says to Joshua, and multiple times says this, Moses says it, God says it to him, like Joshua 1:9 is one of those passages, it's repeated multiple times. Be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Five times we're told that. Well, one of the times it says be strong and very courageous. And why? Well, because it was scary. And they needed to be courageous, because this was a scary step. But God is saying, I'll be with you. I'm asking you to join me in this adventure. If you take a faith step, I know it's scary for you, but I'm telling you, I respond to faith. And I'll provide. I'll fight your battles. Come on, let's go. Whoa, baby, here we go. And they've got a decision to make. And here's the decision that they make in Joshua 3. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you all these nations, the seven nations, all ites, Canaanites, Perizzites, all kinds of ites. And see, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, leaders. And as soon as the priests, leaders, who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So they've got a decision to make, and they do it. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now, a few little observations here that are important. One is, you know, it's in flood stage, but notice that God didn't make it easy. He didn't just part the water. He didn't just make the water stop, and then they're like, oh, look at that. Now we can go. He tells them, no, you go. And when you step into the water, well, then I'll do my thing. But they had to step into the water. And that's the thing about faith steps. That's the nature of a faith step. Is God doesn't make it obvious, he doesn't make it easy that, you know, we take the step and then God provides and then God responds, but we have to take the scary step. They had to get their feet wet. And they stepped into the raging water. The leaders did, and it piles up. Also, leaders went first. That's also a principle that you see when a community takes a faith step as God calls leaders to go first. But then everybody went, everybody. They didn't leave anybody behind. The whole nation, little bitties, elderlies, all their stuff, they all crossed over. And that had to be a blast. I bet there were so many stories about, oh man, you remember when mom fell in the mud and she was, you know, and all. And I mean, there would have been all kinds of stories about, you know, that as they all crossed over, those who were, you know, on a cane and those who were having to be carried because they were babies and everybody in between. And they all crossed over, every generation. And in a step like we're in right now as a church, this is one of those steps that's so big. This is a $20 million project if we, you know, raise it all. That's a lot. And that means that everybody, those with a lot of capacity, those with little, doesn't matter. It means all of us just saying, okay, God, what is the step financially that you're calling me to take? Some of us today came ready for that. It's a two-year project. Above and beyond our regular giving, God, what are you calling me to do? And when I think of everybody doing that, it's so cool. And I want to share with you one thing I was so encouraged by. Well, I'll share with you a couple things. So one is our children's ministry at all of our campuses and youth ministries have all been praying about this and are all thinking, okay, what are we going to give and what are we going to do? And what they decided to do was to take a certain part of the project, Amplifying Local Good, and at the local good food pantry, it's new for us, right? We're trying to make that better and better. We feed 9,000 people every month there. And they needed an awning and all these tents in order to make it, as people are waiting and getting food, to make that much more comfortable than just being out in the elements and in the sun. And so they had a goal to do that, and they accomplished it. They raised the money needed to be able to pull that off, which is cool. So when you talk to your kids, when you talk to your teenager, just say, way to go, and because they did their part. But then I just saw this on Instagram at our Woodbridge campus. Go ahead and show the picture. The student ministry there, 50 of our students at the Woodbridge campus last week did this prayer walk. And there were all these steps, and at each as groups were going by and they had each steps, it was different components of this project. And those students just prayed, God, we want to follow you in this. And God, as we anchor the faith in the next generation, that's them. And they want to reach their friends. They want to grow in their own faith. And as they talked about amplifying local good and changing the reputation of Christianity in our community by doing good works that people can see and glorify our Father in heaven, like Jesus said, and to meet needs of people that are crying out to God for help, and we get to be the answer. God, help us amplify local good and help us reach people that don't go to church and it's not in there, and meet them in the regular rhythm of their life and begin to build Jacob's wells. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go back and listen to all that, but they're just praying. And for their new space too, as their expanded worship space. So cool, right? It just takes everybody. And now we're at a place this weekend for those of us who are for those of us who are adults at our campus to say, okay, this is the weekend we take our, you know, do our step. Well, they did their step. And, you know, 3,000 years ago, the Israelites, they cross over the Jordan River. And then there's the Battle of Jericho. I mean, Jericho's right there, this big fortified city. And read that story sometime in the book of Joshua. It's amazing. It showed them right away, yeah, God is the one who's going to fight our battles. It's not about us. He fights our battles. We just show up and take our step of faith. And they live this whole adventure and go into their land. And that defined them. The generation before was defined as the generation who did not cross over. Well, the Canaanites, they didn't know what to call these people that crossed the Jordan River. And they knew, they saw the Jordan River like stop flowing. Wouldn't that freak you out? It freaked them out. And they were known as, what their word for it, like the Canaanite word when translated for the Israelites, simply means, translated, the people who crossed over. That generation was defined as the people who crossed over. And that's always the choice, right? Either the people who did not cross over or the people who crossed over. And when people cross over and we take the scary step, whatever God's calling you to do, God's on the other side of that. And let me think about that a little bit. So for some of you, irregardless of this project, like we said, there's something going on in your life right now. And there's some step that you know God's calling you to take. It may be a step into something new, into a group, which is scary, or into serving, or maybe a step of obedience where you know, I really need to do this. It could be a financial step, a generosity step. It could be a relational step or a career thing. I don't know, but you sense God calling you to do something new, and that's a scary step. Maybe for you, it's not starting something. Maybe it's stopping something. Maybe for you, you know there's something that you're doing and there's a relational thing or some other thing that you're involved in or even just a struggle that you have or addiction or whatever. And it'd be easier just to keep going even though you know it's destructive, but you're like, no, I'm gonna decide to stop and I'm gonna need God's help to stop and I'm gonna need other people to help me stop because I can't stop on my own. It's a step of faith. And you know a step you need to take to get there. Maybe for you, a step of faith is honestly just staying where you are. I mean, it's not always going somewhere else. It could be to stay in a relationship, to stay in a situation, to stay in a, it's just about perseverance. Do you believe, yes, this is where God wants me? It's just so hard right now. And a big step of faith, a big step of courage is to stay sometimes. Sometimes it's to go. And, you know, but and let me encourage you to take the scary step. And then for our church, this reimagined step is a scary step. It's a big step. And it really boils down, remember, the church isn't somebody else. The church isn't some organization out there. The church is just you and me. I mean, look around. It's just me and you. And it means us, in order to pull this off, those of us who are willing, those of us who are open, and those of us who are able to say, God, I want to do my part to make this work. This is a big financial project over the next 2 years. In a little bit, we'll make our pledges, those of us who are wanting. I mean, we'll write them out and we'll hand them in as an act of worship and an act of courageous faith. Just like 3,000 years ago, when leaders went first, our leaders have gone first. So we had a leadership meeting on Monday night. And as leaders, many of us, there were 300 and something leadership families there, and we made our pledges that night of what we believe God was calling us to do. And when those totaled up, our leaders have done their part. Let's put it that way. It's about $9 million, $8.9 million that those 300 families gave, which if you do the math, that's a lot of faith and sacrifice to pull that off. And that's a huge head start. About 10% of our church has given almost half, 45%. Have gotten us that far. And now the 90% of us, if we do our part, it's like, okay, here we go. We can do this, right? And because it sounds like so much, but if everybody does their part, you're like, okay, we can do this. But I know it's a scary step of faith to think about this. Like I remember our Imagine campaign years ago that got us up to the Legacy campus. I remember when I did my pledge. That was the first one of these projects I did. And I remember literally my hand was shaking when I wrote the pledge card because I didn't know how that was going to work. It was a number I believe God wanted it for us. We prayed about it, but it was stretching. It was like, God, I don't know. Looking back, what in the world was I scared of? Because God more than showed up. But at the time, you couldn't see it. And I'll be really honest, I didn't plan to share this, but Monday night when we wrote our number, I came down because I spoke a smaller version of this same talk. And I went down to our table to where everybody was doing their pledge cards, just like we'll do here in a minute. And I just felt like God was saying, you need to grow it by this percentage. And part of me was really excited about that. And part of me was like, oh, I don't know, you know? That's a little scary and a little costly, you know, it's a lot. And came down the table and Christy's there. We just had a little quick conversation and just said, hon, I think we need to grow it by this amount. And she's great about that. She's like, whatever, that's cool. That's great. I was hoping she'd argue a little bit more and talk me out of it. But she's like, no, that's great. You know, if that's what God wants us to do, let's do it. And then later that night, this is part I didn't plan to share. I haven't shared with anybody yet. Going to bed, I had this little panic moment of like, what did we just do? Like, seriously, like, really? Like, what did we just do? Like, that's a lot. And I was feeling the cost of it, the sacrifice of it. And I was feeling the fear of it on the faith thing. It was like, did we just do that? And it was cool just to get God's assurance of saying, yeah, you just did that. But I'm with you. Like, this is the point, right? To be stretched. And so now I'm at a place of like, okay, oh, whoa, baby, here we go. But I had a little moment of little burp there, a little faith burp. And it happens. It's part of the process. So here's what we're going to do. For those, again, I know not everybody's participating in this, which is cool. But for those of us who are, this is a big moment. So please respect this moment. And I'm going to pray in a little bit. But if you would grab a pledge card in the seat back in front of you, if you're on the front row, it'll be behind you. If you're participating, grab a pledge card. They're pins. And here's an example of that right there. Here's what that looks like. It's very simple. Just your name and, you know, how much you believe God is calling you to give over a 2-year period above and beyond regular giving. It doesn't help us to say, well, I'm not going to give any more regular giving. I'm now going to put it to this. That hurts us. That doesn't help us. So this is above and beyond that. And by the way, for those of you in the risers, it's if you're looking at the seat back, there's no seat back. So on the edge of your row, there's a pile of those and just pass them down. And before you pass them down, you can just go ahead and write some amounts for what you think people in your row should give. Do that. And in a little bit, we're going to, because this is a faith step, I want us to take literal steps. That's why we gave everybody socks in this campaign, you know? And because it's a step of faith and it's a step of commitment and it's a step of worship. And they're gonna put, just right here on the stage, there's gonna be some giving boxes and at the front of the risers, there's gonna be some giving boxes to literally get up and put your pledge in. And in a little bit, the band is gonna sing a song as we're doing this. And you may wanna just, I encourage you to do this, just to pray real quick and say, God, you may have come here with a number of mine, just push pressure test that and say, God, is that my number? Is this what you want? If you're a married couple, just like Christy and I did, when we did our Monday night thing, maybe it's just time to just double check with each other. Is this what we believe God wants us to do? And then as an act of worship, when you're ready, come and to the tables and there'll be these boxes and just fold it and put it in there. And then over these next couple weeks, we'll count that up and we'll go as far as we can go, you know, as people give, as each one of us does our part. And for those of you who are not participating, I would ask this, which I understand, I get that, no harm, no foul. But please, when I say respect the moment, for a lot of us, this is a really big deal. And it's a big, scary step. And it's an act of worship. And so if you would kind of protect a undistracted worship moment, meaning don't just jet to go watch the Mavericks or the Stars tonight, but just kind of stay with us. It's not going to take very long, just a few minutes. And then we've got another song and another thing to do. But again, this is a big moment. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll turn. Oh, I also need to say this. I forgot to say this for online people. Here's how to give online. You just go to reimagine.chaseoaks.org, and right away there'll be a way to make your pledge, and you can do that in these moments as well. Or you can use the QR code there with your phone. But let's pray together. Father, this is a moment where realize it's a defining moment for our church. And church is just us. And so God, I just ask that you'd help us all to surrender to you, to listen, to be able to hear what you're calling us to do, and then help us, empower us to be able to take the scary step. And Father, I pray that as these pledges are made and you're helping us think through what that step looks like for us, God, stretch our faith. God, we want to see you work. And we're just going to trust that we're going to be able to go as far as you provide through us, as each of us take our step. And I thank you for a group of people who knew what they were coming to, most of them. And he said, yeah, we want to be part of this. And I thank you for this family, believers, and for their generosity and openness. God, just pray to guide us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.